Hello, everyone. Welcome and good morning. It's nice to be with you today. And just to pigtail on your announcement, you didn't do such a bad job yourself, Cindy. Thursday night really was wonderful, and we have a wonderful crew to work with. It is a blessing to work with everyone, and just the whole thing was really beautiful, and we couldn't do it without you. So thank you for always tuning in and for being a part of this, especially your consciousness. We can really feel it. Okay, let's get settled in for our meditation. We're going to go ahead and begin just by getting comfortable in a seated position or whatever is best suits you. It is nice to have your spine nice and tall. As I always like to say, like an antenna reaching into heaven to get the best reception possible. And also when you do that, if you can, lift your shoulders back and down to open up your heart center. And maybe you can feel all of a sudden your lungs can breathe easier, your heart beats easier, and even your internal organs begin to work a little bit better. And so we notice immediately the attention starts to come to a keener focus. And so bring that focus, please, to your breath now. Begin at the tip of your nose and just feel the air come into your nostrils and then exit. Notice that precious little texture of the life-giving breath. And now follow one of those breaths right into your heart center. And begin to focus on your breath from your heart. Now it's time for a laser focus at the very epicenter of your heart. Feel your divine emanation going out from you in all directions. And as this energy goes out from you, it also comes back to you in the form of deep wisdom. The world is talking to you. Since this wisdom is of its own, we can leave it alone now and trust it, bringing our focus now to the spiritual eye, the highest point of our mind, the Star of Bethlehem. A birth is about to take place in you and in me, a higher knowing, an awareness of our Christ truth that lives within us always. So won't you go with me now into the silence, focusing on the Christ presence. And now the awareness comes back in through the spiritual eye, right into the heart center. And imagine holding in your arms a baby. The dawn of all knowledge, of new awareness, the birth of the awareness of the living Christ in you. And hold this little infant wrapped in swaddling clothes against your bosom and feel his breath gently upon your neck as you hold him tight. And then let all that go and come back to this space now. And you can stay in meditation or gently open your eyes now.
Just another homeless family, hoping for a stranger's charity. Just one night in one safe place to stay, underneath a star so far away. She carried everything they had and more, the little one the world was waiting for. Somewhere in the night a child was born, to every heart so tired and torn. And the light shining from that star will show you who you are. And his light shining with its might will lead you through the dark.
Thank you so much for that beautiful song. It's just every time the songs are new, ever new to my heart, and I love it. I can't wait to hear the rest of our songs today. And in that way, you know, coming with you who are watching, I just today I'm so humbled just that we get to do this work here. And after our candle lighting service, just to work with such wonderful people, you know, and hear these prayers that Candy brings to us and our daily word. I do get emotional, I know. Cindy said she likes that about me, so I'll keep it. But it's just true for me that I can feel so deeply this Christmas love, beyond all of the running around, beyond all of the appearances, beyond all of the stuff that we can complain about with the season. There's just this Christ joy, this love that permeates our hearts. And it really is the true Christmas spirit to me and so many others. And so as I get to know the Christmas story more, being in unity, it's been such a gift because, you know, as I've said before, looking at my own life, if I would have been told, Kevin, in 10 years you'll be at a podium talking about the Bible a lot, I'd have said, no way. There's just no way. And yet here I am, and I wonder, why is that? There's something that's so captivating about not just the Bible, not just the story of Jesus' birth, but about the unseen, about what's beyond appearances, like we talked about at candle lighting, that faith that transcends all appearances and what I think I see. And so I was thinking about this with Unity people, you and I, people that tend towards this kind of a teaching. We are people that are not fooled by appearances. And if we are, it's why we come around, because we know in our hearts that there's a greater world to be had than the one that causes us to suffer. And so I can think about that in the terms of what this Christmas story is. And there's many stories that are similar to our Christmas story that we have in the Bible. So did it ever happen? Was this man Jesus ever born some 2,000 years ago? And if he was it in December? We don't know. That's for sure. So we can only imagine. But it still does something to us. At least it does to me and to the people around me now. This Christmas story means so much to us. I always think about that nativity scene and I just love it. So I started reading an older Unity minister whose name is Ed Rabel, and he was ordained, I think, in 1958 and was in Unity for many, many years, and he's one of the best-loved Unity ministers, and they called him the resident Unity Yoda because he was very wise, kind of looked like Charles Fillmore, they said, and I saw a picture of him, and that's true. But he taught about the metaphysical nature of this birth story. And he was a very well-respected teacher of metaphysics in general. And it brings me to what I want to talk about today with the story. You know, no matter whether it happened exactly the way that it says or not, the little intricacies, the time frames, even if it's off by hundreds of years, or even if it's a complete story, it has massive significance. And the way that Unity views these things is metaphysically, even mystically. You know, and it's when we start to listen to these things, we start to lay a hold of a deeper wisdom that is within us, and it's reflected in that story. And so that story from 2,000 years ago is so pertinent in our lives today because it's a formula for how to manifest in reality the appearances which we truly want to see in our heart of hearts. That's no small thing. So let's look at it. The baby Jesus, the awareness of our spiritual nature. Now, sometimes we think that we're birthing the Christ consciousness, but that's already here among us. What's being birthed is our awareness of this baby, of this infancy. Sometimes we come to different points on our path, and we are very, very new, and it feels clumsy. But once we begin to lay hold of that truth, we begin to cultivate it. And this goes in seasons in our lifetime. It goes in seasons in our bigger lifetimes. And it goes in seasons of the strange nature of the cosmos, which who knows exactly what that is? Do you? Something in our lifetimes tell us that we are more than this lifetime and this body. So this baby Jesus has always been here, but now it begins to be born into our conscious knowing. And this birth, metaphysically speaking, comes through a virgin, of course. And what does that virgin represent, the Virgin Mary? Well, innocence for sure, purity. And Jenny just this morning reminded me, don't forget the fierceness of Mary, the determination. You know, And I really thought about that. She knows more about that than I do. But I really started to consider that, what it takes when you're visited by an angel who says, even though you're a virgin and you've never known a man, the Holy Spirit would like to impregnate you with a human child. Wow. It does take a fierce determination to say, all right, let's do this thing. And that's kind of what she did say, even right in the Bible. Here I am, she says, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word. And that took a lot of resolve to do. I mean, can you imagine? This whole story is riddled with angels visiting people who did not think that they had what it took to do what the angel had told them that they were being asked to do. So Mary, I think about this, it's a complete allowing, isn't it? Okay, use my body. That's one of my favorite prayers. God, I'm all yours today. Use me however you will. Allowing, complete trust, willingness, and the absence of negative resistance. You know, and Charles Fillmore is a writer who gets really deep into this. And there's a book that you can view actually online, and it's called The Story of Jesus' Soul Evolution. And he really takes the story and looks at it deeply. And there's a quote in there that he says, I want to share with you about what Mary represents. He says, metaphysically interpreted within the soul, Mary, the Virgin Mother, represents a pure state of mind that ponders spiritual things in her heart and believes in revelations from angels and messengers from God. Believes unequivocally. Her imagination is so intense, I love this, so intense that she vitalizes the ultra microscopic germs of life and they multiply in her body without external contact. Is that rad or what? Charles Fillmore is telling us that Mary's imagination is so intense that what this angel told her, she literally grows and gives birth to, without any external appearances having to tell her that that's what she's doing in human terms. She had to become a spiritual being to do this. That's the kind of teaching, you see, that drew me to unity, because it demands that I go to a higher place in my own consciousness to even contemplate this, let alone live as if it's a truth in me. So Joseph, her husband, he stands for something else. And what Ed says is he stands for constructive, creative imagination and positive thinking. He represents the outer mind that practices obedience to the Lord, gained in dreams and external symbols. You see, what happened with Joseph was when Mary became pregnant, she was betrothed to him, but they were not married. And that's a no-no in those times. You don't do that. Everybody gets shamed and even worse, sometimes stoned to death. So what do we do with this? And so Joseph finally says, I'm going to put her away. I'm going to hide her away. I'm not going to marry her. And then he goes to sleep. And in a dream, an angel comes and says, don't do that. Go ahead and marry her. She's carrying a baby that the Holy Spirit put there. Right, sure. But what does he do? And that's the power of positive thinking. He says, okay, I'll do that. So both him and Mary are given this intuitive knowing. That's really what the angels are, messengers from God, in our consciousness itself, not just our mind, but in our being, we know that we're being called to do something. And so he says, okay, I can do that. And so he does. And he has to use a very positive attitude to do that, because he's got to accept a lot here. And so the two of these together, Joseph representing this wisdom that knows to do this, and Mary representing this deep love, which before were ideas in just in mind, now they have to bring forth into manifestation in substance. And so can you imagine that? Like real world, imagine that. If that was your wife or your husband, and you guys are suddenly going to give birth to this baby, and you both know that it's going to do something awesome because you've been told by this angel. I think everybody thinks their baby's awesome, don't they? Everybody thinks their baby's here to do something, and I think that is absolutely true. Every single one of us is here for a divine mission. And so these two being asked to do it, just like every other parent being asked to bring a child into the world and raise it, knowing that we fall short ourselves in what we'd really like to be, maybe that's the whole trip for planet Earth, guys, to learn how to be better human beings. So Mary and Joseph, to me, represent one thing, and that's humility. And for me, this whole story hinges on humility. The willingness to listen beyond what I think is possible to a higher calling within myself. So then we get to Bethlehem. And Bethlehem actually means house of bread. So it stands for substance, the substance of ordinary life. And it represents where this union of wisdom and love, Joseph and Mary, is brought forth as the Christ presence. And then the manger, I love the manger, you know, they went, tried to get a room at the inn there, and we all know what happened. They said, there's no room here. But that wasn't supposed to be anyway. It's too loud, it's too noisy, it's in the middle of the city, there's too much hustle and bustle. We need to go somewhere else. So they find this little manger. Can you imagine? There's animals in the manger. Probably smells. Mary's pregnant, and Joseph, he's got this job to do to bring it forth, and they say, well, I guess we'll stay here. And the manger represents human consciousness. The animals that are present, all they refer to is the natural processes which are part of that human consciousness. So it's almost like you think about this manger as our own mind and how we bring forth things into being. And then the shepherds, these guys are really interesting. You know, the shepherds are outside, and all this is going down, and they're freaked out when an angel of the Lord comes to them and says, don't worry, everything's going to be okay. And they're like, whoa. But shepherds also have a different significance in the story. Shepherds at that time were very focused on their flocks. They knew each sheep by name. They could call it and it would come, and they knew where every one of those guys was. Now, those sheep represent our thoughts, and the shepherd's focus represents really being mindful of every thought that we have so that we don't let the ones come in that are life-draining, that are diminishing. So those shepherds have a big, huge job to do, and I think we read it in our daily word, on earth, peace and goodwill toward mankind. That's what the angels told them. They rejoiced in that. They knew that this birth was meant something deeper. And so you see, these things are starting to meld together, at least for me, and I'm starting to see where the significance of the symbols of this story are relevant in my life today. So these shepherds are us, monitoring our thoughts, but not like painfully, but being aware of the way that we think about the world fundamentally, deeply knowing who we are, so that when we command a thought, it happens, rather than being led around by our thoughts. So what he said here, I love this. It leads to a clearing up and harmonizing of the soul so that it is receptive to divine ideas. Okay, then what else do we have in our story? We talked about it in meditation. It's the Star of Bethlehem, isn't it? And this Star of Bethlehem is awesome. There's a lot of stars in the Bible, and they usually refer to this symbol for inner guidance. And we know in meditation, we focus at that third eye. It's the Star of the East. And this is where the dawn of higher consciousness comes, the awareness of the Christ presence that we're talking about here. It's always that star from the east. And so when we go into meditation, maybe you're like that, where you close your eyes and immediately you're brought to that spiritual eye, and it's almost as if a tunnel opens up of great color and introduces us into the astral world, where this higher wisdom starts to come through us and we don't have to work so hard in our physical lives. Now, I can use some of that every day. But the Star of Bethlehem does something else also. It shows these three wise men where to go. And this is where the story gets really interesting for me, kind of my new 2020 insight for what the Christmas story is. These wise men, according to Ed Rabel and Charles Fillmore, if you read in the Metaphysical Bible Dictionary, it's really cool. These three wise men represent the accumulated wisdom that we have garnered through past lifetimes, all of the knowledge, the talents, the insights, the skills, everything that we've accumulated in all of our lifetimes. These wise men come to re-inform us, to let us know when we're open and receptive, the way that Joseph and Mary were. And some of us might say, are you talking about reincarnation? And maybe I am. But think about that. Even if we don't buy into the whole idea of reincarnation, what is going on with race consciousness, with human beings in general? Why is it that we don't get born into a human body and the baby grows up and has an entirely new way that it wants to do things? That's not what happens. It gets indoctrinated, literally, taught and trained into a way of being that is very worldly. Unless that young one says, oh no, you won't have me, I'm going straight to the source. And that's what these teachings are about. And that's what these wise men do. They come to tell the baby, your life is not what you might think it is. So what do they bring? They bring gifts. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And we've all heard of that. But what do these things represent if this whole entire story is symbolic? I wrote this down so I was make sure that I get this right. Gold is the riches of spirit. Frankincense is the beauty of spirit. And myrrh as the eternity of spirit. Isn't that beautiful? Beauty, riches, and eternity. That's what these three wise men come and bestow upon this little infant. And the infant remembers. It gets even better than this. These three wise men are often said, we call them magi. And there's some say that they're Persian prophets. And some say that they're Indian rishis. Some say that these Indian rishis came, touched the baby Jesus, and then when Jesus disappeared for about 15 or 20 years, it's said that he went to India to revisit his friends there that came to see him. So you see, this story goes and goes, but let me not digress too much because I will go there. So these three great contributors, these wise men, that your past earned wisdom and knowledge can give you in your present state of development is why that becomes valuable today. Because these three wise ones are always trying to visit us through our Star of Bethlehem and through our new birth that we celebrate each year, almost like a reminder, where is your focus going to be? What will you look to as your guiding star? And there's always a bad guy in every story, right? And the bad guy in this story is King Herod. And King Herod heard about the birth of this divine child, and he knew there was trouble because he wanted to be the most powerful king in the world, and he wanted to have all the materiality and all the riches, and he wanted to have everything to himself. And if this dang baby's gonna come and take his glory, he'll be damned. So he sent the three wise men. And he said, well, I would like to go and say hello to this baby. So when you find him, you get word to me right away and I'll come say hi. But he just wanted to kill him. And he was going to send his lynchmen to do that. And so that didn't happen. And so instead what this king did was he just ordered that all these babies be slaughtered. And that's kind of how it went down in those years. But that also is deeply symbolic to what happens in our own process when we begin to birth a new awareness and all those old thoughts come back, that old ego says, oh no, because this is what it is. These appearances in our world are real and what I was taught, this is the way it is. But our intuition says something different, doesn't it? Our angels come to tell us something different. So quite a different way to look at the Christmas story. It's really a process within us, within you and within me. And as we come around a place like unity, sometimes We just want to hear about surface things because the depth is too great. Myrtle Fillmore warned us about Christmas. She said, avoid overspending especially. Avoid showering too many physical gifts. Take time to be in communion with yourself in the silence of your own soul. And that's what happens here, what Charles Fillmore says in Jesus' Soul Evolution. He says, Mary kept all these sayings, pondering them in her heart. There should be an outer affirmation, he says, of this new life, but the substantial growth is attained through quiet communion within the soul. Amen. You know, when we start to nurture this seedling, this infant, if we go running around telling everybody how wonderful our awakening is, we'll be met with resistance and people will tell us why it won't work. Doesn't that happen all the time? But when you go into the silence of your own soul and you hear your own angels guiding you, that is this preciousness that happens with just you and the divine. And that is how we bring forth this awareness of this living Christ presence that is Christmas. Such a wonderful thing. You know, when Mary was pregnant with Jesus, she went and visited her cousin Elizabeth. Now, do you know what happened? As soon as Mary started to say hello to Elizabeth, Elizabeth said, oh, the baby in my womb leapt for joy when it heard your voice. Now, why is that? Well, John the Baptist, do you remember what he said when Jesus came along? He said, the one that comes after me came before me. In the Bible story, if you really get into it and you start looking, there was a prophecy that said the Messiah would be born. And that it was actually Elisha. In the Old Testament is Elisha and Elijah. Elijah was John the Baptist and Elisha was Jesus. So they switched roles. If you want to look that story up for yourself, I don't have time today to get into it, but it's very interesting. So we've got in the Bible itself a story of reincarnation. How wonderful is that? And that baby recognized that baby through the voice of its mother, as you will. So I sat with all this and I'm like, God, this is a lot of stuff to share on a Sunday morning. And it came down to one word for me, this whole story, and it's humility. That in all the things I think are impossible or why it won't work or why this is too much or why that's too much, when I get truly humble in the silence of my own soul, I can hear the voice for God, and it's guiding. And so there's this saying that I always remember. These people told me when I first started to change my life and it seemed impossible. They said, don't give up 5 minutes before the miracle. What a thing to think about. So on this Christmas, I only wish to ask you to consider for you, what is your best life? What is your Christmas story? And what does all of this mean to you? Thank you so much. Amen and Merry Christmas.
Oh, Kevin, thank you so much. You know, I just love hearing those metaphysical stories. That is definitely what drew me to Unity. I was thinking about what Myrtle Fillmore said about not getting caught up in giving too many gifts at Christmas, buying and spending and giving things of this earth, which we all know don't last and can't take them with you. And I think that's a really important message this year particularly, because many people are not in a position to be able to give very many tangible gifts. So I would remind you, the gift of this season is love. That's only all it's ever really been about. That's really all it is love. And that's what matters, and that's what people remember. How many of you can remember maybe more than one or two really big, important things you got for Christmas? By the time you get to be my age, you really can't remember most of the things. But you remember your family, you remember the love, you remember how you felt. You remember how the people around you make you feel. So remember that for Christmas. Doesn't really matter what's under the tree. It matters what's around the tree. So let's sing together again, Savannah.